Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebelt. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, doing good.
Excellent.
So let's get into it. Since we both enjoy marketing, and this is a marketing show, I don't actually talk as much marketing as probably I should.
Okay.
And then we usually talk every 6 months or so. I felt like it's a good time and let maybe other people hear about what we talk. Is how do you feel that the local marketing has changed over the last few years?
The biggest thing that I see is the rising costs. It seems as though normal business owners are just shocked by the way things have changed in terms of price. So the normal media, think of like a magazine or a newspaper, they're struggling with their margins. So even though their audience is gradually slipping away from them, they're still charging as though their audience is building. So it's harder and harder to get good value for money in legacy media, for want of a better description. But then the online space, prices are just shooting up. Normal things that we would see and think about are just rising so much. So I've got a couple of examples. The first one, about 6 or 8 months ago, the domain name torontorealestate.com sold. I mean, that's kind of a normal domain within a certain parameter. I mean, you would expect it to be sold to one of the bigger real estate agents in the city, but it went for $140,000.
Yeah.
Who expects that? And if you look around a normal town or a normal city and think about who would buy that kind of the local domain equivalent of that, nobody thinks about those kinds of numbers. And I think the way that these things are increasing so quickly is just such a shock to small business people. And then there's things like pay-per-click. The costs gradually are going up and up, and few businesses seem to be able to cope with it. I can remember a few months ago, maybe January or February time this year, I was asked by a friend of mine who's based in California to quote SEO for a law firm. It was a startup law firm, and she knew the founder. His core keyword that he was interested in, the suggested bid in AdWords, was about $39. He was shocked by this. I mean, who would pay $39 for a visitor, not even a genuine lead or a client? And as I was looking through, I kind of just scrolling through the list at different keywords, there was one on there that I saw. And so it was San Diego auto accident attorney. And the suggested bid was $269 per click. No one in their right mind is thinking these things. I mean, 200 visitors, you buy a Lexus.
Yeah.
I think for most kind of small businesses, they're just being passed by it, really. It's tricky for them. I mean, it's tricky. But this leads on to sort of the reason why. And I think for lots of smaller businesses, analysis is something they don't really do anything of. I mean, this is all kind of mindset stuff rather than anything else. But if you don't ever try and work out the lifetime value of your client, or you don't ever try and work out the cost of acquisition of a client, how do you know that you can afford to pay $40 a click or $270 a click? You'll never figure this stuff out. And so the people that are doing that kind of analysis and understanding their client bank and understanding their funnel and their lead generation process, they have this big advantage because they can afford to pay whatever it is they can afford to pay. And the market in each location dictates that, but it also comes down to the owner or the marketing manager or someone in the business figuring out what and why and how. And I don't think many small companies do that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know what you see. I mean, obviously, you've got your own client bank. Do you see similar things or different? Or
I was going to take it a step further to not just the analysis, and you're right. Most business owners do not have an idea of the lifetime worth of their client. But the one thing I've been seeing, too, is that people that can actually bring results in, we don't reach out to people as much as the ones that can't give the results, and all they do is do marketing and then try to cover up the actual results that, you know, which they can't do is just getting new customers. So I feel that a lot of these local guys, you know, they will reach out to a few of us and they'll get the pricing, and then they have all the other things in the back of their minds. Well, some Indian guy just emailed me saying for $99, they'll be able to put me on number one of Google, and I'm getting some other local guy saying, you know, anything I'm willing to pay for, he'll do it. And then I have some other guy, my cousin's brother or someone, starting an SEO company, and he'll do it for any price too, or like $150 a month. And I think there's a lot of confusion too. They're seeing a lot of these people around them, and then just phone calls coming constantly to them, like, yeah, we'll put you on the top of Google, and we'll do all this stuff for you. And then when they reach out to us, they see like, this pricing doesn't make any sense. Like, why is it so expensive? What can you do that, you know, and they want us to explain. And then we usually don't even feel like it because it's like, I mean, I have clients. I have enough. Like, I don't need to teach you about SEO at this moment. You know what I mean? So I feel like the people that are talking to them the most are the different type of companies, which kind of messes up things in their brain. And they don't realize how the reality of it all right now.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from completely. I mean, in terms of SEO, something I do as a kind of a side service is I help businesses to build authority links. I sell authority links. So think of like huge websites, you know, the brand names around the world. And for example, I'm working with a law firm over here at the moment. And, you know, they're in a very competitive market and it's an international market. And they, for their SEO, they need big, strong links. Either you have to kind of cheat the system and do private blog network types of things, which they don't want to do because they don't want to take the risk of reputation and penalty and what have you. So in that case, you need to build proper white hat links. And they don't really have a story per se, so content marketing isn't easy for them. There's no kind of obvious changing news every few weeks to announce, so that's not straightforward. So we started talking about links. They thought a perfectly adequate budget would be 250 euros a month. I don't have any links that I sell for that price. I think the cheapest one I sell is like $350. They just were amazed at this for one link. And I'm saying, yeah, you probably need 30 of them. What? That's insane. I'm like, well, you know, you're competing with other big websites. They probably have a big budget. The way costs have risen, it's just, I don't know, it's catching everybody out, I think. It really is.
Then going back to the pay-per-click, which you mentioned, let's say one click for $37. And you tell this to a client and they will say, well, this other firm, I paid them $50 and they got me 10,000 clicks, right? And you'll be like, okay, yeah, let me look at your analytics. And then you will see that, yes, they got the traffic, they got all the things, but someone bid in Facebook, not AdWords, in Facebook, to some little community in India with that keyword. You know what I mean? Like this misdirection, right? Like we'll show the ads to 10,000 people and have it for less than $50. But what they don't tell them is, yeah, this traffic will never buy from you. And you'll try to ask this guy, well, did you make any sales from this, you know, all this traffic? No, but look at all the exposure. I'm like, yeah, okay. You have to explain everything. And it's like, I don't really have time for it, I feel like. And I think people are the ones that are learning by themselves and with bigger budgets are just overtaking those other companies. And other companies, they reach out to us when they're about to go out of business and they just don't have the money to, and there's just no time to save them.
I've certainly met a few like that where they've kind of got to the end of the rope and, you know, we've been trying to figure out what we can do for months and months and months. And now we've got 2 months of money left to save the business. So now we're going to take on marketing. Really?
Yes, at the end.
Now you think you're about doing that? And to be honest, I mean, when I get those kinds of, I've only had a couple of times where I get those calls. On the one hand, you really want to help. But on the other hand, it's not at all obvious to me that I can help. The kinds of things I would do are going to take a really fair amount of effort and budget as well, if you're desperate to make it work today. And when they say, well, we've got 200 euros, help. Okay, maybe you could call a lawyer and make some people redundant. I don't know. It's really difficult to help in those situations. I mean, over here, I've I'm based in Malta, which is a small island in the Med. And Malta's unusual because it's relatively isolated. And so if you go back, say, 30 or 40 years, the population of the country was a lot smaller. The economy was a lot smaller. And so there are people here that started their business 2, 3, 4 decades ago. And simply by opening their door, they became one of 3 or 4 people in the country to do something. And so they immediately got business. And there was no need to market. There was no need for sales. People just arrived because they existed. That was enough. There were 2 people. Suddenly there were 3. They got their market share. It was immediate. And now the way the economy has changed, there's a lot of emphasis on things like tourism, for example, and company formations and residency and kind of high-end consultancy type services. And those things, of course, need international clients. And all of these companies are confused by the idea because won't people just come to us? Well, there's 100 firms that do what you do now. Why would they just pick you out of anyone? And there's no kind of thought along those lines. And so, I mean, I've met several firms where they've gone from having a relatively thriving business and suddenly they're in a potentially a global marketplace and they still use the same process and ideas. And a year later, they're really, really struggling. It's sad to see, but it's not obvious how guys like us can help them. I mean, if you figured out how to help them, please say now.
I was just going to say, it's not unusual to just your market. If you really think about the state as a whole, you think of such a big country with so many people in it. But if you really break the states down, you find a lot of these small towns throughout the states. Like the whole Midwest is just big combination of little towns. And then when you break up a city like New York, you have little neighborhoods. There's a lot of people in it, but they're little. So the same mentality happened. And that's why you see a lot of these shows like Kitchen Nightmares. They go to anywhere from Brooklyn to Madison, Wisconsin to Austin, Texas. And they will meet these same type of businesses that opened 20, 30 years ago. And it's the same thing. They have no idea about marketing. And they keep saying, well, we're not making any money, but this is what got us here. So it's got to get us out of it, right? Like the same methods. We used to open our doors and people just came in. And it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in Brooklyn anymore. It doesn't happen in Austin or Madison. I mean, now there's like 50 pizza places in every of those places. And I feel like a lot of these older businesses are just having a hard time now because there's so many startups disrupting the market in different ways. And so many people that come in, open it up, get the Google places up, get in front of the customer on the internet, have the direct marketing down. And the other places just, what happened? What happened? Like, they have no idea that someone just came in and took the floor from underneath them.
I must admit, about a year ago, I had a conversation a bit like this with a real estate agent in Malta. And he's kind of struggling on. He's had the same office for 20 something years. I can't remember how many. And, you know, we were struggling with very basic things. I mean, you'll laugh at this, but it had taken me 9 months to not get him to make one change on one web page. In the same sort of time, you know, Snapchat went from nowhere to like 100 million users every day, an offer from Facebook in the billions in 18 months. And this guy has not added three paragraphs to what to his homepage. And you kind of think, oh, goodness, this is so hard. And of course, so much of the business in a sector like real estate is now being driven by people searching online and then phoning up and asking to see a specific property that they found on a website. And I was saying to him, you just have to consider yourself really lucky. And he said, why? And I said, well, luckily for you, real estate would bore the hell out of me. Otherwise, guys like me would come in and just tear your sector up and you'd all go out of business. No. We've got years of experience. We know what we're doing. Almost as if real estate couldn't be learnt by someone doing online marketing in a few months. And unfortunately for him, I used to work in real estate 15 years ago, so I know you can learn it relatively quickly. But really, it's the protective moat that they have around their business is not really very protective anymore. It's got smaller and smaller so that anybody can just step into their space. I mean, you mentioned direct marketing a minute ago, and I think that's a really big issue, though, because most small businesses don't write anything. I mean, if you're going to do anything on the web, and obviously we're web-based, so we feel more about that, but I mean, if you're going to do AdWords or social media or SEO, or you've got some sort of Instagram or YouTube strategy, whatever it may be, you're in the content creation business, the publishing business, and most of these firms, their idea of a big, expansive homepage is 60-something words, and that's not really going to cut it anymore. There's like a creator, a publisher mindset that they don't seem to have. At least I don't find that in smaller businesses. I mean, I've worked for a news media in the past, and obviously they churned out content like there was no tomorrow, thousands of pages at a time. But it's not like that for a normal firm. It doesn't think that way, for example.
Yeah, there's a lot of resistance. They keep thinking that by putting their business card online, which is what these websites are, is going to drive traffic, but it's not. And you also mentioned this person taking so long to make a change. And I completely see that, but I don't understand. And I argue with people about this. I'm like, you're a two-person business. Why are you taking as long as it takes to think up and actually bring a car to the market to change a couple things? It's just you are creating problems where there is no problems. Like, you're a two-person team. Make a decision and we can change this in 5 minutes. Like, you can have a whole new business within 12 months. I mean, we can test and roll out 150 services in that time. Like, what is the problem here? And it's like, well, I'm just not sure about it. Well, other people are sure and then they are testing and they will take this from you. And I don't get this resistance to change. I really don't.
when it comes to that real estate agent, I mean, I am a semi-professional writer. I was going to write the content. He just needed to give me a password to let me upload it. Even that was too much. And you do kind of find yourself thinking, this is crazy. What are they doing? But yes, it's all mindset. I think one of the big differences for guys like us, I mean, I know you've been involved in publishing ebooks for a while. To make that work, you must have done a lot of trial and error and testing different ideas and different titles, different genres, all sorts of things to figure out what worked for you and what you could make work. So your business plan sort of evolved, I guess, either week by week or month by month as you were developing and working on this. But it seems that in lots of sectors, they figure something out. This is what we do. They're taught it by someone else and they never again try and experiment or work on their model. That's it. I was taught A, B and C. It makes money. I'll do A, B and C forevermore. And it's as if the new thoughts about their business stop on month 3 or month 4 or something. And that's kind of scary because in a world that's developing as quickly as it is technologically, you've just got to play around and experiment and take a risk with your advertising and marketing budgets.
Yeah, it's true. Through all the books we've published, and I think it's over 4,000 now, I cannot imagine how many times we've changed the covers, descriptions, the way we lay out the template. It's just every 2 or 3 weeks, I'll be like, well, I just came up with something new. Let's give this new template to everyone. Let's get it done this way. Now, even though things have been selling, I'm like, well, let's try it now. And if it doesn't, we'll go back. If not, we'll go forward. And it's a continual change. We're shifting all the time. And it shows. I mean, anytime I see a competition start doing the same thing, we're already ahead with the new series of books. And it's just something that's natural. Like, I don't really think like we need to change, but ideas come and it's so easy for us to actually do it, right? To go out on a website or just change something and give it to our workers. It's so simple. Like, we can do it the same morning. It usually takes less than 15 minutes.
Wow. Excellent. Good for you. I quite like taking business lessons from Breaking Bad. I don't know if you remember that.
I did like that show. Yeah.
And so one of the things that really stood out for me was that they started with a kind of a mom and pop type thing. They didn't really know what they were doing and they were trying their best. And then gradually, as they were escaping the law each time, they destroyed the previous version and then upgraded again. Now, admittedly, that when I use destroyed, I'm using inverted commas around my head and that involved shooting people because that's what the show was about. But every time they did that, every series or every half series, their business model improved. Some of the problems they had were fixed and they were essentially iterating on the go and doing a better and better job at producing more and higher quality. And I think that's kind of a good metaphor for the rest of us, just with our meth production in the process. If you're able to keep thinking through the problems and gradually eliminate more of them and improve areas that you can improve, a few turns, a few iterations later, and you'll be in a very strong position, certainly a much stronger position than most of your competitors that are not doing this.
How important do you think SEO is at this moment to the local market?
I've come to realize that SEO is nowhere near the silver bullet I like to believe it is. I think it depends on the kind of business you're in. I mean, I've met businesses who literally say things like, until we're number one, we can't do anything. And it's such an unusual mindset because essentially they're saying, we're doing well in Google, we're doing well. And if we're not, we're toast, we're done. And I think there's an awful lot more to it. And one of these things is that they need to have some sort of process for selling nailed down pretty closely. I mean, I've met people recently that just kept saying, we need SEO. And I kept saying, but I'm not clear what your product is. Why do you want SEO? Because I don't know what you're selling. I mean, I know that sounds very strange and a bit counterintuitive, but once you've got the other things in place, SEO is a really important marketing channel. But if you don't have the other things in place, I'm not quite so sure. And I don't feel as though all local businesses just need the help. I might be very wrong about that, but there are lots that I don't think are particularly a good fit for SEO. And so maybe a hairdresser or a restaurant or lots of types of shops. It just doesn't seem to me as though they should be worrying about these things. How do you view it? Because obviously you've got a different type of client base.
Yeah, actually, the more I've been in SEO, the more I've been hedging my bets with all the businesses now. And these days, I will no longer take a client for pure SEO. And I just don't think it's a smart move for me or the business. So I've also been more selective because the new method I use don't work for all businesses. What I've been doing now is I use partly SEO because SEO actually takes longer now than it used to if we want to do it safely. So I feel telling a client and he'll see no customers for 9 months is just insane. Like, I just don't want to do that. So obviously we need to do some kind of a paid advertising, but then having to pay for each client, that's also very expensive. So I tried to figure out how we can publish books in that market as lead generation on the Kindle, for example, right? So we'll publish 10 or 15 books really quickly or even more and get leads coming in the next week. I'll also figure out how to get them on podcasts and get some good links back, but also get the good exposure and people listening to them and hopefully going back to their website. So I will combine SEO, paid advertising, Kindle book lead generation, and interviews on podcasts. And all those four combined, they will start getting clients next week. And eventually when SEO does kick in, it will just become stronger. But it's not like they have to wait for 9 months and they don't see results. Like, it keeps them busy the whole time.
Great process. I mean, I must admit, I took a very different approach. I guess about 2 years ago, I came to realize that I just don't want to be an employer. I'm very happy as a consultant, but I don't want to have staff. And I just realized one day that I'm trying to do all these different things and keeping up with them all was far too much. So I just slimmed everything down and I just do SEO. And so I don't really talk about any of the other things. As time has gone on, I've kind of moved away from that a little bit. But I think that was more about finding the right clients as opposed to finding a need within me to do other things. And so I just found a couple of really nice clients that I wanted to help with more, and I felt I could help with more as opposed to making it my bread and butter offer. But it sounds like you've got a great plan there, Tom.
It's a really good plan and it works, but what you'll find funny is that it's not advertised on any of our websites. So nowhere you can find me online will you find this plan. This is referral only, usually. I only take it on case-by-case basis, and a lot of the projects that I'm working on now are actually partnerships. So if I really, really believe in something that you're doing, you will do one part, I'll do the marketing part, and we'll do a profit share.
Interesting. I must admit, I've got a couple of websites I've set up in the legal space that are profit share related. They've not done amazingly well yet. The rankings are there, but the referrals haven't converted yet. But the leads haven't converted, rather. But I think it's the way that guys like us probably will be going more and more in the future, because simply taking someone's website on, helping them for not enough money to basically double their business, which is what they all seem to want, it doesn't make enough sense anymore. We're smart enough to know better. We're smart enough to know that we should get a piece of this pie if we're going to make the pie substantially larger for them.
Yeah, and it's not much different than when I used to work in sales for bigger companies. I would sell something. They'd give me a commission for, I don't know, whatever they felt like, 3 months or a year, or usually 6 months, let's say. And then I got to keep selling and they keep all the residuals. Well, with SEO, I started counting all this stuff. And yeah, someone's paying me, let's say, $700 a month or $1,500 a month, but they're making, let's say, $6,000 or $7,000. And some of these businesses, like gyms, they were memberships. So, okay, they paid me, let's say, $10,000 in a year. They made $90,000 from my work, and then let's say next year they switched SEO providers, or they just stopped because everything's set up already. And I'm like, well, where's my money, right? Like, why would I be helping you for a year and lose a year of my life to make your business bigger if I can do the same thing for myself?
I had a similar learning experience myself here. I mean, it's not the case at the moment, but for a long time for the real estate and property related phrases, Remax ranked everywhere at number one. And there were reasons for it. It turns out they were, Maltese site was penalized a couple of years ago for link spam related things, I think. But I can remember being invited into a Remax office by someone, and he owned one of the franchises. I think he owned two or three of the franchises. And I hear good things about you and SEO and internet marketing. And I wanted to get a quote. And I said, I don't understand why. I mean, you're rank either number one or number two for dozens of phrases. I can't even find a search phrase you don't rank highly for. And he said, yeah, but you might be willing to do it for $100 a month less. Just think, really? I mean, who wants that person as a client? But somehow, I think the issue we're getting to that we're not explaining well is that money is no longer the key driver in all of this.
I'll tell you who wants that guy as a client. It's the people that set up SEO businesses that cannot deliver results, but they know that client usually stays for 3 or 6 months. And they just count, okay, I'll take 6 months of his money or 3 months of his money and get a new client. So it's cool. I'm not going to give him results. He'll get a cheaper service. Everyone, I guess, is content at the end. I mean, but there's so many companies like that still around. So I'll tell you, they'll take his money.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've recently started working with a contingency basis with a trainer, a consultant slash trainer, a British guy that's based here in Malta. And he's got kind of an interesting offer, and his market is enormous. He's a one-man person, so he needs to create digital training material first before his market can really be big. But the more I looked at the way he was trying to operate, I realized I could just do a much better job of building his business than he could. In a mean way, I'm just being realistic about it. And so I offered him what I have come to loosely call in my mind a profit hacking service, where I'm going to help him to build the business and make it much more profitable quickly. And he's a percentage of revenue as my involvement, my interest. And it just seems an arrangement like that with the right kinds of people is much more sensible for people that are good at marketing than normal consultancy. I guess it's just a logical progression that we go through, where we start as a consultant, we build other people's assets, we build a few of our own assets. Those assets of our own make it easier for us to step away a bit and become more choosy. And then we can put our prices size up, or then we can seek different types of clients. But then at some point, if we want, we can simply say no thank you to clients. And we kind of keep going on this progression until we get to a stage where actually we should be part of the business.
I find a lot of people, after we've done our work, we paid our dues, they start reaching out to us and they bring much better businesses, which only need marketing. And we can provide much more and we get better clients. We don't need to actually market our own services as much. And most of them do become this type of a partnership. And I think it's a normal evolution.
And it's very interesting, isn't it? Because you need a lot less clients. You will build a much stronger, closer, more trusting relationship with each other. So you can be much more honest and help them more genuinely because you can tell them very straightforwardly, that thing is rubbish. We should stop it because you have an involvement as well. Kind of tiptoeing around a subject because you don't want to be fired over harsh words or something. So you can build a relationship that's much more likely to succeed. The trick then is simply making sure that as a consultant or an advisor or however you want to describe yourself as a partner, that you get paid when the business does grow.
Yeah, definitely. So with a lot of these local businesses, when they start thinking about marketing, obviously they still think about Google a lot. There's still that mental, I got to get number one in Google. We've already stopped even thinking about much, but they're still doing that. Do you think there are actually more opportunities happening now in the offline space because of that? Since so many people throw their little budgets to be number one on Google, there's a lot of stuff they're missing out in just the regular offline marketing.
Well, I must admit, I do some unusual stuff when it comes to offline marketing. I mean, it sounds silly, but something that I do quite a bit is I'm in and out of the domain name market. And so this started originally because I was building my own private blog network. And so I was watching expires and what have you. And so what I started doing was simply picking up some interesting domain names and then trying to find a way to sell them on. Kind of an unusual skill that I was trying to figure out. And I still don't think I've totally got it figured out, but you'd be surprised how often business owners get emails trying to sell them domain names, to which they will obviously never reply to. And you would be surprised how often a normal letter in an envelope works. Because so few people get letters in envelopes these days. I mean, I might only send 10, but I'll get 3 people respond to me. It blows my mind that just by paying for a stamp, you can get such a good response these days. Now, am I helping businesses to do this kind of thing on a bigger scale? Right now, I've got to say that I'm not. But I think trying to find a way to avoid the pressure of their inbox and the spam filters and all of that kind of stuff, and just simply going direct to, I mean, especially if it's B2B, going direct to other businesses seems like a fairly straightforward, time-tested model. And I'm surprised more people don't do it.
Yeah, I had a guest on, Ryan Mio. One of the things that he does, and he sells something which so many companies sell, just a regular web design for agencies that don't have time to do it themselves for small business. But to get into the door, he sends them a bottle of hot sauce with his private label on it. And then he's like, ready to heat up the market or something? Let me call you. And people call and message back because who sends hot sauce in the mail? Like things like that. It's so simple, but he gets clients all the time where other companies trying to market only online can only dream about the type of volume. And it's only by shifting to offline a little bit. And I've been thinking about that more and more. And I'm seeing there are opportunities now because you're right. I don't get almost any mail anymore. And as a business, yeah, I get 100 emails every 3 hours, but I get maybe 2 or 3 pieces of mail. So it's like everyone's shifting online and then you can shift back and you have a much better playing field.
The method you're describing sounds great. I mean, I've heard of other people doing similar things. I mean, I can remember a long time ago, a friend of mine in the UK told me that he'd done I think it was maybe 3 or 4 pieces of direct mail. This was B2B as well. And he was also trying to sell marketing services. And he said the first one, he enclosed a tiny torch, a flashlight. And the letter started with, are you lost in the dark trying to find your way when it comes to marketing? And then the second one was like a miniature Rubik's Cube. Is your marketing a puzzle that you can't figure out? And he had 3 or 4 of these, and he was working for a fairly big firm and they were trying to reach nationally across the UK and they were putting a lot of effort into it, obviously. But on the one hand, you can say those things and it sounds a bit gimmicky and it makes you laugh, but actually we humans are kind of pre-programmed to reply to stuff like that. He told me that he would often have people that would phone him and say, I don't need what you're trying to sell, but I love the torch, thanks. And he would at least have a conversation. I mean, you don't get that from emails ever. So yes, it's interesting. There are ways, I'm sure, to go about it. It's probably harder if you're doing B2C because by definition, you've got a wider range of people that you're targeting. But if you're doing B2B, just simply stepping straight offline and doing direct mail ought to work, I would think.
Yeah, I actually meant the B2B market. I'm not a fan of consumer markets, especially if it's something I got to do directly. That's why I use platforms like Amazon. Anytime I am doing that, so if someone else handles all of that, I'm just not a fan of going straight to customer. I find it's just not, ROI is not there most of the time. What marketing books can you recommend to listeners? Some of your favorites of all time?
I've got to be honest, I read an awful lot of books about business and marketing.
That's why I'm asking you, so you can give just maybe 3 or 4 of your favorites, because I know there's going to be a lot in there, but let's try to make the pile smaller.
I think it would be about 12 years ago that I paid bought my first kind of big money advertising or marketing book, and it was Jay Abraham's Mr. X book. And I think I've got it back in the UK. I don't have it here. But that was and still is the best book on marketing I've ever read, without a doubt. I paid some stupidly high price on eBay for it because it was apparently hard to get. But then I found out in an interview with Jay Abraham about 2 years ago that he sold some crazy number, like 70,000 of them. So actually, they're not that hard to get. And if you just wait on eBay, every now and again, you'll see them pop up for $30 or something. And that's just an incredible education. I like The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes. That's superb. That's a book that was based on a course that he and Jay Abraham did that was called PEQ back in about 2000, 2001. And that was basically for $10, you learn about 90% of what's in the PEQ course that people were spending $25,000 for. And there's lots of great stuff in there. Stepping off slightly, a book called Good Strategy, Bad Strategy by Richard Rumelt is superb. It's very easily written and it involves strategic ideas for businesses, for politicians, for generals, for organizational managers. There's lots of really clear thinking in there, and that's well worth a read. If you're in the hustle mode, a very unusual book is Whale Hunt in the Desert, and I'm trying to think who that's by, but it's about a Las Vegas casino host. And I guess the first third of the book is about him and his hustling and how he built his career, and the second third is about Vegas, and then the third is really about gambling and a lot of the bad things, the risks of gambling. But that first third of the book, wow, that guy is a hustler. Everything you can possibly think of, I mean, he was up to it, just like crazy up to it.
Very cool. I think that's good. People will have enough reading material for at least a month. So if people want to reach out to you and find you, where could they go?
I guess it's a couple of places. My website for SEO is topspotmalta.com, or they could just find me at stuartlangridge.com. That's stuartlangridge.com. Or the location I use for link sales, I'm kind of in the process of building that up at the moment, but that's mediasyndications.com. I'm relatively easy to reach. I just have a difficult to spell surname. That's all.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.